It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit CropMetcalf.com, and you can join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Eric Bickle. At least three of us are wearing some Caps gear today. You didn't get the memo, Jason.
I didn't.
It's all good.
I mean, the only Caps gear I really have are jerseys.
Right.
But
I thought about wearing my Obi jersey.
It's Masters Week.
It is Masters Week.
I mean, we got a lot to get into. Monday.
I get pumped.
But today we're celebrating Ovi. We'll sprinkle a little national championship, Final Four talk.
Mm-hmm. Today's Ovi's day. I mean, Ovi's earned this day.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Join us right now to give us a little more insight. Jumping on the Rude Guest Hotline is our pal Tariq El Bashir from Monumental Sports. Hey, Tariq.
Good morning, fellas. What's up?
Are you on your way back?
No, I flew in last night. I'm actually on my way back to the studio in D.C.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I left at like 7 o'clock last night.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Could you have scripted a better finish here these last few days? I guess if it would finish at home, maybe. But other than that, it was freaking perfect.
You know, I agree with you. I think the only thing that could have made it better would be had he finished it Friday at home or Thursday against Carolina. But look, man, Ovi's going to do what he does. And I feel like, for me, that was the perfect ending because it was on his trademark shot, right? It was on the power play, in the circle. The shot that we've been watching for 20 years now where, you know, everyone in the building knows it's coming. The goaltender knows it's coming. The D-man that's in front of him knows it's coming. You can't see any net, and he still finds a way to catch the puck and release it better than anyone in the history of the NHL and put it through the goaltender. So the fact that it happened from the OB office on his shot, I think just made it absolutely perfect.
Tariq, do you recall being in a more electric building? I made the trip up with two of my kids, and anytime Ovi was even close to the puck before he scored the record-breaking goal, like, everybody in the crowd, like, they'd start getting out of their seats. They'd start getting their phones out to try to capture that moment in history. Do you recall an arena being so locked in on an event that was happening on the ice before yesterday?
I do feel like when he scored 893 and 894, that was really loud, especially in those last couple of minutes when he was pushing for 895 at home.
Yeah.
I feel like if had the Caps won the Stanley Cup on F Street, it might have been that way.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was top three loudest buildings, hockey buildings, I've ever been in. And so you were there. I mean, that was 60-40 Caps fans.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
It was insane, man. Like, before the game even started, you know, like, the players weren't even out on the ice yet. And, you know, like,
the Islanders got booed when they came on the ice.
it was wild. And, like, Caps fans were amassing behind the goal that he ultimately scored on. They had signs. Yep. There was a ton of red in the arena. It was just a fun event all the way around. And
it was.
Like, I tip my hat, too, to the Islanders fans. They seemed in on it, too. Like, they weren't, like, booing Caps fans. Any Islanders fans I encountered, you know, throughout the arena, They were cool and they were nice, so they were there to watch it too.
Absolutely. I also feel like, and I popped my head, I was under the building for a lot of it doing interviews, but I popped my head out several times, like just during play. Not only were there a lot of Caps fans and Islanders fans, they were just hockey fans there too. There were guys, people wearing jerseys from teams that weren't involved in the game.
Right.
There were people there that were there to see history, and it was awesome that Ovi delivered there. I mean, just could not have been a better night. Having, you know, Gary Bettman and Wayne Gretzky and Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie. I mean, there's just so many people who've been important to this chase that were there and there to celebrate with him in the locker room. And it was also awesome that, you know, Wilson and Strome got the assist. Yeah, you know, I think the only thing that could have been better would maybe Carlson getting in on that, but it was fantastic.
Talking to Tariq El-Bashir, who joins us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Shifting kind of towards the team aspect of it, do you think the chase was exhausting to the team and has affected them on the ice somewhat as they seem to be slumping a little bit?
Yeah, it did. I don't know what they would tell you, but I could tell, just as a person who's covered this team for a couple of decades and just being around teams that have had big things in front of them or had gone through stuff, and you could tell that they were starting to feel the pressure as Ovi got closer. I think there are a lot of things going on with the downturn in play and performance. I wouldn't attribute it all to the Ovi chase, but certainly some of it was just the pressure of the additional interviews and extra media being around and just knowing that every time we turn the TV on, it's the great case, you know, it's on leading Sports Center. It's I do think that played a role, but you know, there have been some other things as well. When you're up double digits in your division with some time to go and you ran out of gas in the playoffs last year, you know, human nature says maybe I should just dial it back a little bit. And in the NHL, if you dial it back 5-10%, you're going to lose the hockey game. And so there's a little bit of that going on too. But I do feel like, we were talking about Ovi's goal being the perfect goal for 895. I also think this was good timing for it too, because now it allows them here these next 3 days of no games, they can properly celebrate it. And on Thursday night, I'm sure the Caps are going to do something wonderful for Ovi at Capital One Arena. But then you'll still have time, right? It didn't happen in the last game of the season. You'll have time to celebrate it properly, but then recalibrate and get yourselves locked in for the first round of the playoffs. My concern all along was that he was going to do it like April 17th in Pittsburgh, right? And then there would be like the air out of the balloon, and then they would have to get ramped back up for the playoffs 48 hours later. But now they've got time to enjoy and savor the milestone, but also get their game in order because they have some work to do here.
Joined by Tariq El-Bashir, Capitals insider for Monumental Sports Network. So I'm getting a little ahead of myself here because I know we have a hopefully long Caps playoff run ahead of us. But what do you think the future is for Ovi? He has 1 year left on his deal. I think with the team being as good as they are, I think it's a certainty that he comes back for that last year of his contract. I mean, I don't know whether he would be open to signing an extension. That's a little too far down the road. But what do you think his future holds specifically about does he fulfill that last year of his contract next year?
You know, that's a great question because, and everyone's talking about it. Everyone around the team, outside the team, around the NHL, everyone's talking about it. My sense is that the fact that the team is good now and is projected to be good again next year, I mean, essentially the entire team comes back. The only UFA that still needs to be re-signed is Nick Dowd, and I assume that's going to happen at some point here. Obi wants to win another Stanley Cup, you know? If they were to win the Cup this year and he broke Wayne Gretzky's record, would that impact things? Maybe. Maybe. But then he's still an intensely competitive guy, and having this now behind him and a potentially long playoff run in front of him and knowing that the team should still be good next year, and there's 9.5 million reasons to come back next year as well. That's a whole other generation of Obi Juniors that don't have to work. I think there's a lot of motivation for Alex to keep going. And you know what? 900's a big number too. He probably isn't thinking about this at the moment, but like he wants to get to 925 or 930 and make sure that Austin Matthews and Leon Draisaitl and those guys can never catch him, right? And he still loves playing the game. Just watch him. Look at the slide on his stomach. Look at the jubilation in with his team guys there on the ice. He still loves playing the game, being in a locker room, being the captain, being the center of attention. So that's a long-winded way of saying, short of them winning it all this year and him riding off into the sunset with a storybook ending, I'm expecting him to come back next year and honor the last year of his contract. I do not think he will sign an extension. I think next year will be his final year.
And then is it just assumed that he's going to go play in the KHL for a few years? That's what I keep hearing.
That's kind of how it works. I mean, Ovi is so big in Russian hockey that he could, if he didn't want to or he physically couldn't, I think he could probably wiggle his way out of that. But we've seen that with other players, Fedorov and I'm trying to think of Datsyuk and Kovalchuk. Those guys all went back and played for the teams that were their club teams as kids for the most part, and then became figurehead GMs or coaches afterwards. I absolutely could see Obi play next year and then go back and score 35, 40 goals in the KHL with Moscow Dynamo and then become the general manager of the hockey team. I could absolutely see that.
Tark, I thought it was a cool moment on Friday when Wayne Gretzky went into the locker room and he kind of shared a joke with Ryan Leonard, who got his first career goal on the empty netter. As kind of a novice hockey fan, casual hockey fan, I don't necessarily have the eye that you have. Tell us what Ryan Leonard brings to this team.
Oh, my goodness. He has really been surprising to me. I the jump from NCAA to the NHL is a massive leap. It's bigger than AHL to NHL by a lot. And the fact that he stepped right into playing against grown men who have, dad strength, from straight for playing against, college kids in NCAA and performing the way that he does or has been, I think, really eye-opening and heartening for Capitals observers. Because no one knew whether he was going to be able to keep pace and make an impact on a game, and he has. It hasn't been perfect. He's not out there skating around everyone and scoring goals yet. He had that nice empty netter, but he's physical. He's tenacious. He's not afraid to, mix it up and get in there. He goes hard to the net. I mean, there are some defensive details that are going to have to get cleaned up. But he's, four games into his NHL career, and what a ride it has been for him. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
You just got bounced in the NCAA tournament. You were the number one seed, so you're all disappointed. You sign your contract, you show up in Washington, and you walk right into the Great Chase. And then you score a goal in the Great Chase and get congratulated by Wayne Gretzky in the locker room afterwards. He has to be like, what just happened?
Yeah, no doubt.
Life heater for that guy.
So Tark, I asked you this before, last time I think we had you on the show, and I was just kind of looking at the Vegas futures of all the teams that they put the odds on to win the Stanley Cup. And at the time, I think the Caps were probably seventh or eighth on this list. And currently, they are seventh. And I'm just wondering, there are teams like Toronto are ahead of them, Florida's ahead of them, Carolina's ahead of them, Dallas is ahead of them. I'm just wondering, why do you think they're not getting the national love in the Vegas markets? Yeah. Because they've got 108 points or 107 points.
Yeah, there is kind of a perception out there, from Vegas and even from some pundits around the league that the Caps aren't maybe ready for prime time or ready to win a championship. This is not a championship caliber team. I disagree with that, and I'll tell you why. You look at the way championship teams are built, and the thing that always stands out to me, you got to have great goaltending. Logan Thompson's dinged up right now and hadn't been playing at his best, but he's had a great year. For a lot of this year, he was one of the best goalies in the league. I mean, it was him and Connor Hellebuck for the first, probably half of the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Lindgren is playing really well for the most part. But then it's the depth of a team that really stands out to me. The Capitals don't have like a superstar who has to drive the bus or a group of superstars, three, four players like Edmonton, and then have a big drop off to that next group of players. The delta between the top players on the Capitals and the rank and file, shall we say, the third and fourth liners, it isn't that big. And that's what helps teams in the playoffs. When you're facing a team in the playoffs, you're able to focus on shutting down the top guys. And sometimes the top guys kind of cancel themselves out. And you've got to rely on, your depth players, your role players to really carry the load at certain times. And the Capitals' depth players, their role players, are better than most team role players. So go ahead and shut down Ovi and Strome. And Dubois and Mangiapane might get you, right? Shut down those two. And, Nick Dowd can score a big goal for you. Beauvillier can score a big goal for you. Ryan Leonard is going to probably play a decent-sized role for them. Also, and I would say the final component is the defense. And the Caps' defense is as deep and as good, 1-6, as any team in the league. So you put all those factors together, and when I look at the Vegas futures and I look at what people are saying about the Caps going in the playoffs, I honestly scratch my head. I'm like, I don't know. I don't see what you're seeing.
Yeah.
I don't see what they're seeing. I see a team that should have as good a chance as any team in the league at making a run at the Stanley Cup.
All right, Tark, great stuff. You're probably exhausted from this chase as well. Rest up before the playoffs, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Tark.
Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, Matt.
That's Tark El-Bashir from Monumental Sports Network. Coming up a little bit later, Craig Lachlan, the Locker, will join us from Monumental Sports, the color analyst on the Capitals. But next, did Duke choke or did Houston beat him to advance to the national championship game tonight?
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We're scheduled to talk to Locker, Craig Lachlan from Monumental Sports here moments, and I believe he may be joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Locker, welcome back, first of all, officially. We haven't talked to you since you returned to the airwaves and came back from your surgery. Talk about that ordeal first before we even get into Ovi.
Well, it was quite the ordeal, fellas. I mean, it was out of the blue. Around Thanksgiving, and I went down and had a scan at Alan May's place in Tampa, and I thought I was feeling great riding a bike, playing tennis, skating, you name it. I was just like feeling great. And all of a sudden he says, oh, come on down. He's been bugging me to get in there for a scan. So about 15 of us went in, got the scan back on the way home, landed in Baltimore, fellas. And Alan May calls me, and now I call him Dr. May, because he called me and just said, hey, there's some issues with your heart. We recommend you see the cardiologist. It was him and one of the techs. And I said, okay, I will go see a cardiologist. I called my cardiologist. He said, well, enjoy Thanksgiving, and, you know, we'll see in a couple of weeks. I said, well, I can't really wait a couple of weeks. So I went and found another cardiologist here in Annapolis and went in and did a test. And he said, well, we know exactly what's wrong here. You need a new valve. You need a new aorta. You need a new bypass, and you need a clip all done at once. And I was like,
wow,
what? And I was like, oh my God, that's, I thought I first had a hat trick, and then and that would have been my first in my career. And then he says, I'm giving you the clip too. And I was like, okay, what's that for? Well, that's to prevent strokes in the future. And I was like, okay, that sounds like a good plan, but that caught me really off guard. So a good story, and it's a hockey related story. The first guy I called, because I was under the understanding he had the same bicuspid valve that I had, where I had two leaves instead of three. Mm-hmm. I was never tested when I played. I was always told my test came back fine. And back when I played, you did the quick test, you touched your toes and get on the ice. You were good to go. And so all of a sudden they say, I call Henrik Lundqvist.
Oh.
And remember, he was going to sign here.
Yeah,
he was going to sign here. So I caught him just on his way over to Sweden for his Christmas holidays, and we talked for about 45 minutes because he had the same surgery, and that's what made him retire from the Caps. You see, he was ready, he was practicing, everything like that, and then they came in, and he had a bicuspid valve that they were following closely, and the trainer said, you know what, Henrik, your bicuspid valve's not doing well, and we don't think you should play again. So he had the full surgery, but he also had a steel plate put in because they were worried that he wanted to come back. And if he ever got hit with a puck, it would be the perfect thing to put in. And they sometimes, I guess, put in steel plates. He had one put in. And so our family, over the Christmas holidays to prepare for this, watched his show on Netflix about his journey in this heart ailment and open heart surgery. And that sort of set me up saying, you know what? I'm a hockey guy. I can deal with this just like I've dealt with injuries over the year. Mm-hmm. I'm going to set up a surgery for early February because it fit into the schedule during that long road trip or just at the end of the long road trip. and I'm going to be back in 7 weeks. Mm. And that was my goal all along. And that game I had circled on my calendar, come back against Buffalo. So we had the surgery in the hospital for 6 days, and boom, I started cardiac rehab. I'm still in cardiac rehab as we speak for the next 9 weeks, and it's 3 days a week and just making sure you get your heart rate up and all that type of stuff. And I had cardiac rehab over the last couple of games, so I'm good to go. I'm wow. good.
Did you,
great to hear, man. That's awesome.
I mean,
news.
I know great. That you feel like a beloved figure here, mostly probably as a commentator over your playing days. Did you feel the love? Like, so many people, I think, were tweeting you, hitting you up on social media and elsewhere.
Oh, it was an outpouring. I mean, it was amazing. We had to set up actually a box at the post office, a PO box, because I was getting so much mail. And I was getting letters from everywhere around the world, actually. And I was like, oh, okay. And that gave me some real jump and support, and gave me some real focus on my recovery. You know, every day I was doing something. I was walking a lot prior to surgery, because, guys, I went in, I never had any symptoms. Right. That's the crazy
thing. That's the scary part. Yeah.
Yeah. And they checked, you know, so what I had was, when you look at it and you put it in layman's terms, I had an aneurysm of my aorta that if it blows, you're dead. Yeah. I had a widowmaker because my LDL was totally shut off. But the interesting thing about my LDL is that my body, even though it was clogged and not supplying blood, my body built its own bypass through my heart, which to me is incredible. And I was like, you mean I'm alive because my body built a bypass? And they said, yes, you are. And they showed me where my body had closed off the old artery and put in this new artery through my heart to get to my body.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Crazy. Oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah. The story's crazy.
And then you got back sort of just in time. Were you back about 2 weeks, or am I wrong about that? A little longer than that.
Well, I was in the hospital for 7 days.
Yeah.
And then they recommended anywhere from 8 to 12 weeks for recovery. And I came back in about 7 weeks because I started working out. I had some issues along the way. Like, for example, I had a bad lung. I had a collapsed lung from the surgery that I had to recover through, which I did. And all a collapsed lung does is you can't breathe that great, but it makes you cough like heck. And I was coughing 24/7. And finally, they figured it out, and I had to get my lungs drained and all that type of stuff. But you know what? The journey was something that I prepared for. I prepared for the type of bumps on the road that I was going to have. And I told Ovi the last game that I played in Ottawa. He gave me a big hug in Ottawa when we were on the road. And I said, buddy, big man, wait for me, man. Wait for me. And sure enough, it worked out just to perfection that I was able to come back on that Sunday game against Buffalo and enjoy the journey ever since with him reaching that record last night.
Yeah, just an unbelievable culmination these last few days. Did you have a sense that he was actually going to get that hat trick, what was it, on Friday night?
Friday,
the
yeah.
way that game played out? I mean, scoring early and then getting that second one, and then, the, you know, pulling the goalie, but then putting the goalie back in when they got the two-goal lead, and then, you know, having a few chances. Like, it almost seemed like it was destined to happen on Friday.
Yeah, it was. And we were talking about it. You know, Joe B and I talked about it a lot. And for hockey purists, we did not want him to score his 895th with an empty net.
Right.
And I
sure.
think you heard his comments afterwards. He didn't want to hear that. However, I would say this. Had it been its only goal, I'd say absolutely not. But I would have been okay if it was a hat trick goal, because that's just another feather in his cap, scoring a hat trick and scoring 893, 94, 95. That would be an incredible story, too. And people would forget the last one was an empty netter anyway. So I was happy that he elected not to come on the ice. The game was in hand against the Chicago Blackhawks. I'm sort of disappointed when I look back at it. I wish he would have established it at home, because I tell you, Friday night, and if you guys were there, I mean, it was the biggest event, the loudest building, even more so than the playoffs, because in playoffs, you as a fan are sitting there and you're tense and you don't want to cheer. You're just like focused and you're stone cold. And all of a sudden now in this trying to celebrate Alex Ovechkin, you are cheering every time he hits the ice. You're showing the love. You're giving him emotion. There's energy. There's enthusiasm. All things that I thought was the best sporting event I've ever seen at Capital One. It was absolutely something to behold.
So Locker, that atmosphere that you're talking about at Capital One, it transferred north to UBS Arena because there were so many Caps fans in the building, and you described it perfectly. Anytime the puck was near Ovi yesterday or he touched the puck, like you could just feel like a jolt go through the crowd, and I'm sure that you and Joe B were feeling that as you were calling the game.
We were feeling it calling the game. We were feeling it, though. I was feeling in the first period, oh, my God, wake me up, because they were sleepy out there. I don't know if it was the start of the game or what, but both teams were very sleepy. Alex was on the ice. He took some real short shifts. He only had six shifts in the first period of about 40 seconds. That's unusual for Obi, as we know, because he's often over 60 seconds. But I think it was a culmination of probably the stress. The stress of the event, to be this close to wanting to do it there for the whole team, not just Ovi, and just the anxiety and how are we going to do it and who's going to assist on his record-breaking goal and all those things. So I thought it was a little sluggish in the first, and you could really sense that. But the fans were sensing something was going to happen, and it was going to be historical. And once we got that first power play, guys, you couldn't have descripted the entry any better, the speed, the pass by Willie. And now he's got the record, and he'll keep climbing. I told him after the game, I said, Ovi, don't be satisfied with 895. I want 1,000. We'll see what he does.
Right.
Well, what's your sense of that? We kind of speculate, all right, he'll play next year here. And after that, we're speculating maybe he'll go to Russia or something. What's your sense, your best guess?
I speculate that too, but now that he's got a record, does he want to keep building on that? And he seems to be, you know, he's 39, he's playing like 29. So maybe next year, you know, if he has another season, guys, if he wasn't hurt for 16 games, he would be a 50-plus goal scorer again.
Yeah,
this is crazy. Mm-hmm. And he's doing it different than Gordie Howe did. He's doing it different than Gretz did. He's doing it with power and speed and shooting the puck more. There's only one other player that shoots the puck more over 95 miles an hour, and that's Tage Thompson in Buffalo. So he's still got the jam on his shot. So why not go? I mean, I would like, if he got to 950, that would be something. Then he'd probably go back to Russia. I think he just has to build on this. I want to see how this playoffs go. I think that could set sort of the season up for next year, how far we can go in the playoffs. But I'm excited, and I think Ovi knows now the hockey world is cheering him on, because early on in his career, there was a lot of pundits not being happy, saying, oh, he's not back-checking, he's not doing this, he's not doing that. Well, 20 seasons later now, he is the best goal scorer in the NHL history and will never be touched. I hate to see never, because I said it would never be done for Gretzky.
Mm-hmm.
But Ovi's goal scoring, there's no way. I will be dead and in my grave if someone ever beats him again.
Let me ask you, obviously he's a physical freak. And he loves to have a good time. We always see kind of we make fun of these pictures of him, you know, at the beach with his, you know, kind of, he's a stocky guy. I have no idea, though. Most of the greatest of the great, they outwork everyone, right? Like, they're, you know, Kobe and MJ and Tiger and all these guys. Their work ethic is unparalleled. I have no idea. Is Ovi one of those guys, or is he just so gifted? Like, does he kill everyone in practice? Is he out there for extra reps? I almost get the sense that he's not that guy. He's just so gifted.
Well, I think he's gifted, but he does work hard and he wants to be better. And I'll tell you a little bit about that.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe it's the sub, maybe it's the Cheetos, maybe it's the sushi, and maybe it's the beer. Maybe that's the type of food products we need to have, but it makes him tick. I think he's a guy that genuinely wants to go out. You know, I've traveled with him for a long time, and every time I see him and there's an off day with an optional skate or whatever, he's at the rink. And I'm like, I can't even go to the rink. I'm dead tired, Ovi. He says, no, I'm going to the rink. I want to get on the ice. Okay. And what he'll do, he might only work on his one-timer. He might work on just a little movement, just getting his body oiled up and ready for the game. but he generally wants to be better, whether it be with the skill coach, working with a little snapshot, doing little things like that with Kenny McCudden. All those players and great athletes and all the ones that you mentioned always want to get better and always want to practice to make it better. You know, he's changed his regimen of training in the summers, and that's paid off for this type of year. Who would have thought this year we'd be talking about Ovi getting close to 50? I thought he was marked down. I marked him down for 30, and that was with a good power play. And he's done what he's done without really pounding the power play goals. What's he got, 12 or 13? Usually his big seasons, he's up over 20. So he's doing a lot of damage 5-on-5. To me, it's an incredible story. He's right up there with the guys that you mentioned of elite athletes of all time in the four major sports. Ovi's at the top of hockey.
Locker, you kind of mentioned this during the broadcast, and I guess it would be different if the Caps were, you know, in the seventh slot right now and they kind of had to win each game to make the playoffs, but clearly they don't have to win these games. But and it's clear that this was a distraction. It had to be, even though the players probably wouldn't agree to that or, you know, admit it. But it had to have been a distraction. Now there's five. Now it's passed. He set the record. They got five games left before the playoffs. What do you expect to see now? Because they haven't been playing that great in the last seven, eight games.
I would agree with you. They have not been playing great, and I agree 100%. Their defensive structure has fallen to the wayside. They're allowing way too many goals. They're giving the puck away too often. They've got to reset, and they've got to reset in a hurry. And you're on the money. I think it has been a distraction because, you know, it's like we're like a rock team coming into a town, and it's all about Ovi, and it's all about this record he was trying to get. Now they had the celebration. They are ready to go. They have today off. They have tomorrow off. They're going to practice Wednesday. Now you've got to deal with things that we haven't had to deal with. Logan Thompson, now he's out. Ilya Protas, now out. So now you have two guys that were key important pieces to your playoff chances, both out. I hope both of them are going to be shorter rather than longer, but we don't know. I think Logan would be back before Ilya Protas. So now all of a sudden you've got to retool and reset. And to me, it starts Wednesday, guys. And as a player, there's no better game to do it against. And Carolina, again, after we had that slugfest down there in Kaniak land, that, you know what, we better come out Thursday and play like the Caps had played for 80% of the season. There's definitely been a dip. And I can blame the dip on a lot of things. I blame the dip on players now. Oh, we're cruising. We're in first place. We're not going to lose the Met. We're going to have a chance for the President's Trophy. But you know what? Let's just play and try to add to our totals and yada, yada, yada. But playoffs is a different animal, as we all know. And to me, they've got to get everything in ship shape. The positive out of that is they're going to have the coach of the year getting on them and getting them ready for the playoffs. Carberry is an unbelievable young coach. I think he's going to push the right buttons. But guys, it's got to start Wednesday, and they can't have another flop on Thursday. They've got to play playoff hockey for at least three or four of the five. Then at the end of the season, you might say, you know what? There's a couple of guys that maybe don't need to play in Pittsburgh the last game of the season. Ovi, do you need a little rest? Because playoffs will probably start that Sunday, guys. So it'll be Thursday in Pittsburgh. They'll have Friday, Saturday off. Game one will probably be Sunday at Capital One against probably Montreal, the way it's setting up now. So that's sort of the schedule that the coach has to look at and say, what do we need to work on? And I say it starts defensively and make sure we get back to playing tight-knit, hard-nosed defensive hockey. The offense guys will come with this team. We've got enough talent, but I think it's got to start in our own end to get through that first round.
Locker, so great to hear from you.
Yep.
And so great that you were on the call for the record-breaking goals. It was awesome.
Wow. Yeah, it was amazing. It worked out to perfection that the schedule set up for me to be a part of that. I love being with Joe and all my buddies at Matt Monumental. I think we did it justice. I think we set the table, set the photograph of what it was supposed to look like. And Ovi did the rest, guys. I mean, he is an animal. And I can say now he is the greatest goal scorer of all time. And that's special. I mean, he's a special guy that we've been lucky to watch for 20 years here in the DMV.
Locker, I don't know what the ratings were for your broadcast on Friday, but If they were down, it was because, you know, we were on Monumental Sports 2.
Yeah, we took a big chunk out of your guys' audience. I'm so sure.
I was worried about that. Yeah. That's what I talked about that. They better not outdo us. Yeah. Holy crap.
Don't you worry. That will never happen.
That did not happen. Hey, thank you, Locker. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you. Anytime, guys. Thank you.
All right. Congrats.
Love the Locker. He's been great to us throughout the history of the show. Great to see. I mean, that's an amazing story.
Oh, yeah. Just did that on a lark. Just did a little scan on a
Made
lark.
Made me remember. I mean, truthfully, I don't think I've ever gotten it checked out. My uncle's a cardiologist, and we have some sort of recessive gene about, like, bicuspid action.
Get that ticker checked.
Best get that checked.
Yep. At our age, I mean, just he talked about it. He felt fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, he was playing pickleball and tennis or whatever, and he felt fine.
Yep.
And they said, no.
We got an issue.
Immediate.
Yeah, let's get this thing on the schedule.
It's a scary thing, man.
Yeah.
Coming up next, we'll open up EB's entertainment page. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. That is the foursome. We got a packed show. Doug Bell's going to join us at 7:40, talk some Masters. Mike Rizzo, president of baseball ops of your Washington Nationals, and GM, joins us at 9 o'clock. But joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline is Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals. He's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAortho.com. Thanks, as always, for joining us, Coach.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Good to talk
to
you.
We don't have much to talk about.
Yeah, I know, right? Coach, let's go back to Friday night when Ovi scored goals 893 and the tying goal 894 on home ice at Capital One Arena. We were doing the Monumental Altcast, so we were kind of swept up in it. We were close to being in the arena, but not quite in there. Describe to us just how loud and how crazy the arena was getting as people were hoping that Alex would break the record at home, but they at least got to see it, the tying goal at home with Wayne Gretzky in the building. There were a lot of good vibes there Friday night.
Yeah, quite honestly, you could feel it in the morning around our practice rink at morning skate. It felt different. It just you could feel the anticipation and being around O and some of the alumni in the building. So right from the morning, you could feel that this was a significant night, and you had kind of in the back of your mind a feeling that O was going to do something special. And so it started there, and then you could feel once it got close to game time, even in warm up, there was so much energy in the air, and you could feel the building alive, like way before puck even dropped. And so it, the atmosphere was unbelievable. Something that I've never felt. I mean, playoffs are a different animal, but that for a regular season game was pretty incredible.
When did it become, it seemed like from the outside looking in, you could argue with me if you want, Coach, but it seemed like at least in the last game or two, it kind of became, all right, we just got to feed Ovi. Like, I'm sure it wasn't even spoken.
Let's just get it done.
But let's just it seemed like there was a concerted effort. Give him the puck. Let's get, and everyone's into it. It's not like they weren't into it, but.
Yeah. Agree with that.
When did it become that? Like, let's just do this. And that became almost more of the focus. Obviously, you want to win the game, and the forefront is winning the game. But, man, the last couple of games, it seemed like, let's just feed them and let's do this. When did that really kick in for you guys?
I think probably dating back to when he scored late in Winnipeg, that sort of got things rolling of like, okay, we're getting pretty close here. So it started, I would say, if I could describe it, best, it was a build up to where it became more noticeable and more noticeable and more noticeable,
right,
to where you're speaking to in these last couple games where it's been really noticeable of everything surrounding his shifts and a real emphasis on trying to get him over the hump. And it wasn't like, it's not like guys are making crazy decisions passing to him when he's not. It's just you can tell through his shifts and when he got the puck and when other guys would get the puck that there was a concerted effort to try to put him in a good spot to score a goal.
Yeah.
Talking to Coach Spencer Carberry from the Washington Capitals, they've got 107 points. That's the best mark in the Eastern Conference with five games to go. Best by far, by the way, in the East, because I think the second highest team is 9 points behind the Washington Capitals. All right, one more thing about Ovi. Probably a month before he ties the record and breaks the record, we talked to you about the empty net situation. And you told us you were going to have this conversation with him. It appeared that you just had it with him moments before on the bench. Had it ever been broached beforehand?
I knew that he did not want to break it on an empty netter. So we had had that conversation. And so I knew that going into that. I wanted to confirm and make sure that in the moment, given the circumstances at home, you know, he's got two goals so for a hat trick. I wanted to just make sure that he didn't want an opportunity to get out there and seal the deal. And so that was just in the moment.
Double checking.
To confirm.
So Coach Ryan Leonard gets the empty netter there instead of Ovi having the chance at it. I mean, Ryan Leonard has had quite the whirlwind first week introduction into the NHL. Basically, he was playing for BC like a week and a half ago. He signed his deal. He's there for Ovi's record tire. He gets to meet Wayne Gretzky in the locker room afterwards and shake his hand. And Wayne Gretzky's addressing him about the empty net goal. Like, what a week for Ryan Leonard.
I know, right? Like, how do you follow that up for a 15 to 20 year career in the NHL? First week. Everything from here on out is going to be a letdown for Leno. For him to be able to be a part of this, I know him losing in the regionals and to Denver and to end his college career the way that it ended wasn't the way that he had envisioned. And so it's been an emotional week for him and then turning pro. So then you've got all this excitement of playing your first games in the National Hockey League. And so I'm glad. Not glad that they lost, but glad that he was able to be a part of that, because that experience it's once in a lifetime. And for him to even pick up a couple things from that experience that he'll be able to carry with him the rest of his career. And yeah, I'm just, you know, him to be able to be with us and experience that, I think is going to be a positive in the long run for his career inside of our organization.
And is he kind of everything you imagined so far?
He is, yeah. I mean, it's a lot. Like, I think people, he's such a phenomenal, first and foremost, young man, player, what he's accomplished. You know, the sky's the limit for him in this league and in this organization. It is still a lot for a young player to make this jump from college to the National Hockey League. It is a huge, huge jump in just every part of the game that you could imagine. Size, speed, intelligence, physicality, all these significance of every puck touch, all this different stuff that he's trying to work his way through and trying to get caught up to speed. And so he's shown at various points the skill set, the physicality, playing on the inside, using his skating, his ability to attack off the rush and break defenders down, all these things that you get glimpses of what he's going to be able to do for a long, long time at a high level. And then also there's things inside of his game that he's going to learn on the fly and just continue to get better, little details inside the game that we'll continue to work with him on.
I'm curious, Coach Carberry. He was in the middle of a semester. Does he take his classes now? Like, what's going on?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's really.
He is going to finish all of his classes. He wants to get all the credits for him so that if.
Look at that.
Yeah, when he does finish his degree, which I think at some point he will, those credits will count, and he didn't waste his time for the semester.
Yeah. Look at that.
Interesting. So, Coach, now that the OV chase is over and And in my opinion, and I don't know if you agree with me, that record will never be broken because he's going to score more this year, and who knows, he might come back next year, score a bunch more. He might be in the 930 range at some point. No one's touching that. But now that it's over, there's five games left. You guys haven't played the best hockey, as you've admitted. Maybe this was a little bit of a distraction. Now you kind of gear up for playing well heading into the playoffs. What have you been telling the guys about that?
Well, we'll start today at that, because I do think, as great and as positive as this chase has been and the significance of it, and like I said before, like, this is once in a lifetime stuff. So you celebrate this, you embrace it, you do not hide behind this or minimize what's happened over the last, you know, his whole career, but specifically with this season over the last month. So we're able to celebrate that, celebrate him. We've got a few more things this week with regards to sort of, you know, around the community and some different things that he has obligation-wise, media you know, celebrating the record. And this is now our challenge as a group, is you just went through something so euphoric and so top of the mountain, like I just described. And now, okay, the real significant, the real part of the season begins. And that's going to be our challenge. And that's my job, to get our guys back on track and realize that the individual record and what we were a part of was a great thing, and we'll never forget that. And it is as special a thing as we'll be a part of. But at the end of the day, this is the greatest team sport in the world, and you're measured by Stanley Cups and winning this time of year in the playoffs. And that's what we're all about as individual players, coaches, and as a team. And that's where we have to flip our mindset to getting ourselves in a really good spot so that we can make some noise in the playoffs.
So, Coach Carbs, the scheduling gods came up big for you guys, with 3 days off between the Islanders game where he clinched the record and the Thursday night home affair with the Canes coming to town. Is that enough time for a mental reset for you and the coaching staff and the players to kind of get past the record? And like you said, now you drill down on closing the regular season strong and getting ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're hoping, that today is a work day and we're going to get back to work. And that's we're going to have a very, very narrowed focus on what we're doing, being really diligent with our preparation. And now it's go time. It is go time for our group, and guys will know that this morning. And now we get to work and, you know, put ourselves every single day, do everything that we possibly can to put ourselves in good positions individually and collectively to have some success here moving past April 17th.
Coach, can you give us an update on Logan Thompson's injury that he suffered down in Raleigh in the Carolina game?
Yeah, he's still week to week. He's still going to be out here for a little bit, but he's progressing and doing better.
Okay.
Coach, did you attend the celebratory dinner Sunday night at, I hope I get the name of this right, Balos Estiatorio? By the way, their service is impeccable, because as Ovi walked through the door, one of the hostesses greeted him with not one, but two beers. I'm sure you probably wanted it to be one beer, but she just put two beers right into Ovi's hand. He was three steps into the building at that point.
First of all, your pronunciation was spectacular.
Yeah, nice. Excellent. Good.
I was turning my head when all those shenanigans were happening that evening, but I was in attendance, yes.
Nice.
Very good. Very good.
Cool. All right. Well, listen, are we going to get Coach on during the...
I think we have him for at least one more.
At least one more.
This is not our final
interview. Next week's, I think, is the final.
This is the penultimate.
Yes, very good, JP. Big word. From last. Big SAT word.
All right, Coach. Well, let's get on a little heater here as the playoffs are around the corner. It's always a pleasure to have you on, and the last week's been amazing. Let's pick it up here at pace and let's play like we have all season.
Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Coach.
Coach Spencer Carberry, who's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAOrtho.com. Coming up at 7:40, we will preview the Masters with Doug Bell. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news,
you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, if you're so inclined, go to cropmetcalf.com, and you can join their team today. Coming up at 8:40, Timothy Gay, the author of Roryland, will join us during Masters
He's
Week.
A local guy. I think he lives in McLean or something. He lives local.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, very good. Sure.
Went to Georgetown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's won, I believe, four Pulitzer Prizes.
He's won four? I mean, I know he's written four books. It's pretty good.
Well, maybe I'm reading wrong. It says Pulitzer nominated author of four award winning books.
Okay.
So I don't know. Yeah.
Clancy
did. So, I'm not sure he's won a Pulitzer, but he's been nominated.
Yeah.
Well, he's won awards. That's kind of nebulous. So I'm not sure.
Right.
So we generally don't talk a lot of politics on this show for good reason. It's very divisive. People get upset.
This makes people hate you.
But this, this headline is so preposterous. And
is it?
I feel like the concept of it is so outlandish.
Is it?
I kind of think it is.
I feel like it is.
I mean, I think he has a zero shot.
Stephen A. Smith considering 2028 presidential run. He says that Capitol Hill officials and elected leaders approached him recently. He says his lack of political record would be a campaign advantage. And he says he would only run if he believed he had a legitimate chance to win.
Right.
What was the current president's political background before he became president?
I guess it would be none.
He didn't run for office, but he had political ideas. He kind of like testified and, you know, talked about political things for 40 years.
Talked about him.
Yeah.
Stephen A. Smith talks about him.
Yeah. I don't know. Listen, you can say that. You say the same thing about Schwarzenegger. You say even this Zelensky guy. I think he was a comedian. Anything's possible.
I mean, Ronald Reagan was an actor way back in the day.
Anything's possible.
Yeah, but Ronald Reagan became a governor beforehand.
Into politics.
Yeah.
Which side would he be running on? I don't even know.
I don't know.
I mean, I have no idea.
I know he's friends with Sean Hannity, but I think he considers himself more of a liberal than a conservative. Who knows? I don't even take him seriously as a TV guy, other than he is entertaining. but I can't even take him seriously as a talk show host. I don't know how I could take him seriously on the world stage.
Isn't this the same bit like Howard Stern was going to run for president? You hear about these things all the time
we'll
with popular players.
No, he was running for governor.
He was running for governor. Do you remember his platform? I remember his platform.
Hold on.
By the way, while you're thinking about it, in this story, it says
something about traffic, I think.
Smith mentioned he would potentially face prominent Democrats like Wes Moore from Maryland, Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania, and Gavin Newsom for the nomination.
Howard Stern wanted to bring back the death penalty, then use the cremation remains of the convicts to fill in the potholes.
I mean, that's kind of funny.
I mean,
he's doing a bit.
Look, I mean, no matter where you fall on that side of the issue, that's a funny bit.
And Stern was doing it at the peak of his popularity, too. I think he was getting a decent percentage, you know, maybe in the teens or something.
Oh, by the way,
but then he had to show his financial forms that he didn't want to do
this. This is an aside, but since you brought up the death penalty, and that was Howard Stern's platform, I think this was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Did you see the guy in South Carolina who opted for firing squad over like lethal injection for his method of execution?
I didn't know he had a choice.
He had a choice because I guess that there have been issues with the three drug cocktail they give you for.
Yeah, sometimes it can be pretty painful. It might take an hour.
So he chose. He chose firing squad, which. Last time I checked,
they're still doing firing squad.
There aren't many states where it's still an option, I mean, it's pretty lethal firing squad when you got like three guys with rifles and you
have. Is there only three guys? They should have like 20.
I think it's three guys and two guys have blanks and one guy has a real bullet, and they aim and fire and then it's over, Johnny.
It's just so awful to ponder it. Like, what's the way you want to donk off?
Yeah, it's just a horrible thing to think about. Awful. They're all awful options. Yeah.
Look, it's not going to happen. Stephen A. Smith just signed an $100 million deal to stay with ESPN.
Yeah.
Now, he does go on a lot of podcasts and goes on Sean Hannity and Cuomo and talks politics, but it does seem to be a stretch that he would do it.
If you want to weigh in, 800-636-1067, is it a complete farce that Stephen A. Smith is even considering a presidential run in 2028?
I just don't think it's a farce based on precedent. I bring up the president, but we can go back to Jesse the Body Ventura.
Yeah.
I remember when he first said he was going to run for governor, and I guess that's smaller people are like, are you kidding me? A WWE wrestler?
Going to run for governor. You ever see the floors pancake on top of each other? I love conspiracy theories. I don't even know if that's close to Jesse Ventura.
This is close.
Well, I imagine him in debates. Yeah. Right? Stephen A's got to be, he's got to be elite.
He'll out debate you.
I don't know. It'd be
must watch TV. First time Cakes would watch him.
That is the first. I might even pass then. Look, I'm not one of these guys who would ever say, if this person gets elected, I will leave the country. I'll never do that bit. Mm-hmm. But if Stephen A. Smith were elected.
You might have to consider it.
Consider it.
If he was elected, the Dems have serious issues.
It's pretty close.
Hey, embrace debate.
Yeah.
Which president is the GOAT?
I mean, what are we even talking about here?
I'm not even 100% positive he is a Democrat, like EB said.
He might
be independent because, like, before he went back to ESPN after his comeback, he was doing stuff on, like, Fox News Radio as a host or a guest all the time.
Yeah.
He's on Fox News all the time.
Well, I think that's because of his connection with Hannity, but
he's somewhere in between.
I don't think he's a conservative, to be honest with you. I really don't. I don't think he is. He and Hannity, they try to show that they have differences, but they can be friends. They do that bit, you know?
Hannity and Combs bit.
I guess.
If he had any ounce of humor, he'd make Skip his running mate.
We haven't heard from Skip in a while.
I have no idea what Skip Bayless is doing.
Skip Dunn?
I mean, he has a podcast.
Right? Is that all he's doing?
Did he have like sexual assault? That one woman said
his name got named in that the thing with the Molly, woman,
Molly Curum or whatever her name is.
It was named in that whole.
Because he said he'd give her $1 million or something.
Something along.
I'm just waiting for like week six of the NFL season for him to ball up his latest Dallas Cowboys jersey and throw it in the trash.
Hey,
that's like his bit. That's now. A good
bit. Is he still big on social media?
Like, I don't even know. How would I know?
I did just put it up as our Surfside poll of the day. We love Surfside.
You were looking for another poll question.
Surfside lemonade and vodka, iced tea and vodka. Surfside's the best. You can get it in a variety of 8-packs at your local liquor stores. You can go to the bars. Get your Surfside. Should Stephen A. Smith run for president? Yes or no? I'm going to say yes. I'm going to be entertaining.
I'm going to guess you're going to have an 80% no vote.
Why?
I'll
bet against that just because it would be entertaining.
All right, let's see what the people say.
Tony, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Junk? Enjoy the show.
Thanks, bud.
Hey, I think he absolutely could be a possibility. He's well known. The notoriety is a big thing. You talked about Reagan, Jesse. Remember the guy from Minnesota somewhere? He was a comedian on Saturday Night Live. He ended up being
Al Franken. Senator.
Franken, right? So it's not. I don't think it's that far of a stretch at all. I mean, he's a well known guy. I would say nationally for sure. Maybe even beyond that, I would bet.
It's just that he even in his own genre is considered somewhat of a buffoon. He's turned it into an art, and he's turned it into, he's worth $100 million, but just to be hard for me to take him seriously. I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, there's so many out there that way, right?
All right, but you sound like you'd support him.
I'm not going to go that far, but I'll tell you, I think he's a possibility. I'll put it that way.
You'd be entertained
by him. I
think he's
definitely a possibility.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. It's kind of like a train wreck. Sometimes you can't not watch, right? I mean, I turn on
Stephen
A. We're going to
send
him
to the G8 Summit, Stephen A. Smith. I guess.
His vice president will be Shannon Sharp.
I mean, I guess there is something to, like, just your Q rating.
I think some of the
Q
times.
Q rating's high.
I think a lot of the times interest can carry it. And maybe,
no doubt.
And then you have low expectations going in, and the person surprises you. And then all of a sudden, when push comes
maybe
to shove, and you got to put a name, and you got to put a name on a ballot,
maybe you've
ridden that horse this long.
Maybe he's a man of substance.
He's going to go negotiate with Putin. I mean, come on.
I don't know.
Netanyahu, Stephen A.
All I am is jealous of his career and how he's carved out such an incredible spot to make so much dough, just kind of being goofy. I'm only jealous.
Goofy, he's been a super hard worker, though.
For sure.
If you were to look, I mean, he was a writer for many, many years, and then that guy travels. Now, you can goof on him like he's doing walks. And that's a guy who has charisma. He walks into the arena like he's the star.
Yeah. He walks in like he's LeBron.
Yes.
Yeah, but I've also seen him kind of slink around, Super Bowl
parties.
Conference rooms or whatever, when we're out there doing shows, I've seen him kind of like slink around with his backpack and nobody really paying attention to him.
But he was a nobody then.
Well, he wasn't as well known, certainly.
Yeah.
His popularity somehow has exploded since the last time we saw him.
I don't even know. Who does he do the show with now? Who's his co-host?
He has rotating. Shannon Sharp's on a couple days a week. Dan Orlovsky. Like, he has all the ESPN guests.
So he has rotating co-hosts. He doesn't have a
standard. He brings them on. Like, if he's going to talk NBA, he'll bring on.
So is it a two-person show? Like,
no, it's just him.
And then
he does have, he has the woman who sets him up.
Oh, so he does have a woman.
And then they'll bring in.
So it's a two-person show.
Won't they bring in Jay Williams sometimes?
Yeah, they'll bring in different guests.
Okay.
Mad Dog.
He has a bunch of NFL guests like Marcus Spears. Yeah, Mad Dog comes on once a week. Yeah, maybe he'd be his vice president.
Dude, I'm
Mad
so
Dog's that. VP.
I'm so punched out. I didn't realize Mad Dog was an ESPN personality.
Every Wednesday.
I haven't listened to him in a long time.
I knew
time.
He was an MLB guy. Does he still do MLB Network? Mad Dog? I had no idea he did ESPN.
You know what? I'm not sure if he still does that show.
Yeah.
I can't
assume he does.
I love that joke.
For as much as we goof on Stephen A, and I think he gets a lot of goof, especially in goofing in our industry. I mean, he brought up LeBron James during Alex Ovechkin's segment. But people watch it. Like, idiots love to tune into him.
He is entertaining. He's a character.
I'm one of those idiots.
He's
I'll
a
watch
character.
It. I'm the only one here. I'll watch first take.
Him when JP turns it on, and then JP just leaves the studio with
put the volume on.
Him just screaming in my face.
I watch the facility too.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know. Just it's on Fox Sports Net.
Mad Dog does not do high heat anymore.
He doesn't.
Yeah. Fox last year was the last.
JP,
I'm having trouble hearing you.
Of the candidates that you know, that we all know of, who would you vote for Stephen A. over right now, today, if you were going to?
Who are the candidates?
Kamala Harris, AOC, JD Vance.
I mean, I'd have to hear.
No, give me your blink.
Oh.
Well, he's not going to.
You know, I'm in the tank for my guy, Wes Moore. Shook his hand.
All right.
That guy's got Riz.
No, he's definitely got Riz.
I don't know what to say. I don't know how to comment on this.
The last guy he's going to vote for is JD Vance.
Why don't you?
Well, I was going to ask Valdez what his thoughts on Wes Moore were, because I know he was very upset about some.
No. He's a sports slut.
Yeah, I know he's a sports slut. I know that.
The guy's at every opening day. He's at every single training camp.
Yep.
Yeah.
He loves running routes.
Well, I mean, that's what politicians are. They're all like attention.
They want to be the camera.
He's at every single sporting event. Yeah. I do want his workout regimen, though.
Is there anybody on TV, though, that you would like to see run for president? So you discount Stephen A. Smith.
That's not a political
Because for
guy.
Years you used to hear, oh, well, Oprah could win it. Mm-hmm. That Oprah legitimately, I mean, she gets tossed out there all the time. Like, she could win it. She's that popular.
She's got so many skeletons. That's why I think probably she's never ran. Be my guess.
What I don't understand is if you're as wealthy as Stephen A. Smith, like, why would you want the responsibility of being the president?
Yeah.
Like,
isn't Donald Trump wealthier?
I know he's wealthy too, but like, again, I don't quite understand that either. Like,
ego, some sense of narcissism,
I guess.
Oh, that's what it is.
Well, that, but some people do think that they want to
make the place better.
Yeah,
they can make the country better.
I would take him at his word that he wants to make the country better. I would believe him.
I'll leave that to somebody else.
Yeah, I don't have those aspirations. I just want to make my golf swing better.
Yeah. Hey,
let's make EB's golf swing better.
What if Stephen A.'s first presidential order is like making the NFL season 20 weeks long? Like, he just uses
his
power.
He uses all
of his power in office to invoke change in the sporting world.
What if he took away like all pay-per-views, made it all just on free TV?
Stephen A. Smith got rid of the new system in the NBA lottery, brought back the old lottery. Yeah.
I know.
He makes the Super Bowl
on President's Day weekend.
Get the big placards
we just
in there.
Have envelopes in.
Yeah. With David Stern
and worst record gets the first pick.
Yeah.
That would get me to vote.
What if he ordered CBS to air the national championship at 7 p.m.
I would consider it.
Yep.
He expands the field.
Expands the field of the tournament. What would your executive orders be?
That's my vote.
If you're president, Cakes,
yeah.
Give me five executive orders.
Five off the top of my head.
Sports related.
Well,
I'm just saying that's what we're talking about. So one would be preseason's
gone in the NFL.
Yeah, eliminate preseason.
Preseason's gone.
That's one.
NBA season, 55 games.
That's a good one. Baseball season shortened to like 90 games.
Oh, no, I like that.
90.
Destroying history, Cakes. You can't do that.
What else? You don't have my vote.
I don't vote for you.
I don't have my vote.
Yeah.
I like the one where you're going to say all nationally televised games have to start by 7:30.
7 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah.
Those are all good platform points.
You know what? No, NFL teams can't travel to England and Ireland and Scotland.
I actually like 9:30 kicks. I'm not going to lie on Sunday. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with trips to Barcelona.
They can kick off at 9:30 on the East Coast. Okay. There's no energy out there.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Super Bowl's on President's Day weekend.
Or
Super Bowl's on a Saturday.
Super Bowl Saturday.
Yeah, or that.
That might be my first order of business.
I would get rid of the schism between LIV and PGA Tour.
Yeah.
The real president's trying to do that.
I know. I would get it done by now.
You would?
Oh, yeah.
You would.
Day one.
Day one.
Well, you know how they're doing like no taxes on tips, no taxes on them? So we should lobby for all games to be on your regular cable service.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to buy an extra
channel. You don't have to buy Amazon.
You don't have to have 19 different.
Yeah, like no add-ons.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so I cap Netflix's payments.
Yeah, get rid of all that. Get rid of the Amazon Prime, all that stuff.
If you have any sports-themed platform running points for Stephen A. Smith or whoever might be running for president in the future, you can call us with those at 800-636-1067. Don't forget Timothy Gay, author of Roryland. He'll join us in studio coming up at 8:40 here on The Fan.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Remember, if you want to text us throughout the show, you can do that on the Junkies text line, brought to you by Lido Pizza, a local favorite since 1955. Serving pizzas, subs, jumbo wings, and salads, Lido Pizza is square because Lido Pizza never cuts corners. For locations or to place your order, go to LidoPizza.com. Text us at 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply. All right, so we wanted to get into some audio we have of Jonathan Allen from when he joined Chris Long on the Green Light podcast, him talking about his time with Washington, how he's assimilating in Minnesota. Here's former longtime Junks guest and longtime Commanders DT, Jonathan Allen.
We were just talking offline. We got to go up there last year for training camp, and I was blown away by the facility, man. You talk about, like, I remember when I visited Washington in free agency. And not to dog the facility back in 2016, but it wasn't much going.
No.
And getting to see Minnesota, I mean, that's some state-of-the-art right there. And right down to, they got aquapana in the refrigerators. You're drinking like $50 water at the facility. Were you blown away when you went and visited?
I was. I mean, the one thing we're always told in college is once you get to the NFL, the facilities aren't nice. Just everything's not as nice. Like, as far as just how much money is being spent on the players, college, one of the top programs is usually the best. But man, when I came here and I seen they have kombucha and they just had all the drinks in the fridge and the facilities, I was just like, wow. Like, I feel like I've been cheating my last 8 years. I'm like, these guys over here living like this is incredible.
You said something that, you know, kind of, I was wondering with you for 7 years, I remember I have the date here, October 22nd, 2023, that famous post-game rant from you where you're like, I'm tired of this shit. It's been 7 years of this, and as a guy who played for a lot of losing teams the first 8 years of my career before I changed teams, I know how you feel. And I'm wondering how hard it was when ownership changes, it looks like it's going the right direction, you got that dynamic rookie quarterback who's going to be incredible, and you're like, damn, I gotta leave now. I bet it softens the blow to go to Minnesota, but is part of you like, geez, they got the together and now I gotta go?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, again, I've always thought I was gonna finish my career in Washington, and in a perfect world I probably would have finished it there, but you know, God has other plans for me. And I always just remember Coach Saban saying that on the other side of something that's challenging, uncomfortable, difficult is usually what you've been looking for all along. So I mean, this is just an opportunity for me to grow. I don't think I could have found a better organization and team to come to for what I wanted. Like, my agent and my financial guy are already in Minneapolis, so I was going up there every year, 2-3 times a year. My wife loves it. She already has a bunch of friends out there. She's from the Midwest. So, honestly, this is probably the dream situation.
Hmm.
That's good for him.
Yep, it is.
Great landing spot for him.
I feel good for him.
And
you got a fat contract, too.
Oh, you got a nice deal. But yeah. I can also see where part of him is torn, where he toiled and worked here for so many years on so many bad losing teams. Then when Harris comes in, the ownership changes. They make so many upgrades. They draft Jaden Daniels. The team's fortunes turn around. And then he gets released. So it has to be bittersweet because he's you know, given his blood, sweat, and tears to this franchise his entire career. Then they finally start turning the corner, and then he's basically discarded.
Yeah, he's not part of the reward.
It's how the cookie crumbs.
I know. It's the business of the NFL. You know,
and
he was very positive.
All things being equal, he would have liked to have stayed here and ended his career here.
Yeah, right.
But it just that's not the way professional sports works.
I don't know if you have more of the audio, but he's very positive about the culture that they've established here with Coach Quinn.
Yeah, I think Valdez might be. He can search for that. I don't know if he has that or not.
He doesn't have it.
But yeah, like it sounds like he landed in a great spot. This is a Minnesota team that's really upgraded their defense by adding him, Javon Hargrave, like to an already pretty good defense. Like it's a good spot for him.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't think I mentioned it, but I saw, did you guys happen to see the interview that DQ did with Shane Battier and Alex Smith and then some finance guy? I think it's called like Glue Guys Podcast. Have you heard of that podcast?
I saw that.
Did you see that interview with DQ?
I just saw a summary of it. I didn't watch the interview.
Nothing earth-shattering in there.
Talks about his style, like he learned under Carroll and Saban.
Yeah. It's just, you know, again.
He talks about being authentic.
Yeah, it's more insight into sort of how he got to where he is right now. And yeah, sort of learning along the way.
How he connected with the players.
Yeah.
It's brotherhood, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's good. I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny that. Like Alex Smith, I never would have envisioned him like having a podcast. Like everyone's got a podcast. And by the way, it was a quality podcast. You know, I don't know how Alex and Shane Battier hooked up, but it was interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, that's an odd pairing.
Yeah, it's an odd pairing. And then they have like a business guy too. So they have an NFL guy, a basketball guy, and a guy clearly is, I don't know.
John Allen in that clip mentioned kombucha.
Yeah.
I've never sampled it. I'm intrigued.
What is that? Is that like
a drink? I looked it up. It's a fermented tea
made
from sweetened black tea, bacteria, and yeast.
Yeah, I think I've had it before. Like if I've had an upset stomach,
One of the guys I had lunch with yesterday ordered it.
It's touted for potential health benefits, which makes sense to try it. Improved digestion, boosting your immune system, lowering cholesterol levels, and supporting cardiovascular health.
And I'm all about that.
So it sounds like it might be worth trying.
I
don't really know what it's all about.
Don't they just sell it at regular?
Sounds like it's pricey.
Oh, don't they sell it?
It is pricey.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
They sell it at regular grocery stores.
Yeah.
They also sell it at hippie grocery stores too. But like,
I haven't gone to a hippie grocery. What's a hippie grocery store?
Like Roots Organic Market. I have one of those in my neighborhood. I don't frequent it, but I've been to it before.
Yeah. I don't go to those.
I'm sure you don't.
I go to like Safeway.
That's what I usually go to. I usually go to the big corporate grocery stores.
Right.
But sometimes I'll pop into the hippie grocery store. It's happened.
By the way, are you guys following this the kid that was stabbed by the other track guy?
I saw the article.
Are you following that?
Not really. Sounds like there was a dispute at a track meet. One guy stabbed another guy. Guy bled to death.
The kid that stabbed him is claiming that he felt threatened, right?
Right.
That there was some confrontation. He told him, get out from underneath that tent. That's not your tent or whatever. And then there was some sort of did I read at some point that he was claiming he was being bullied?
I don't know. I haven't really gotten into
that. I saw there was a self-defense angle.
Yeah, self-defense angle. And then, by the way, Daily Mail is 3 days late. They are picking up on the Tiger Woods story that when he issued that video of him announcing his nine-hole renovated
with the patch,
didn't look good.
He looked horrible.
Yeah. I saw some online chatter.
I mean, he looks all bloated. People. He looks all bloodshot. Mm. What is going on with Tiger?
Who knows?
Always something.
He's got something. He's always on something.
You
got
to do a deep dive.
Dude,
what's going on.
If you had 18 surgeries on your body like him, including a recent Achilles surgery, you'd be on something too. You'd look poopy.
To deal with the pain.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I guess.
Can you imagine what he feels like when he wakes up?
No.
Probably ain't good.
I guess. What was the latest thing? It was for Achilles.
Yeah.
Achilles,
Has he had two Achilles surgeries then?
I don't know. Almost sounded like a yes, but it almost sounded like a cleanup, like almost like a reoccurring issue.
This one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And of course, he did the worst April Fool's Day little tweet. It was embarrassing.
Remind me, I've already forgotten.
He said that his extensive rehab and hyperbaric chamber work has made him, he's going to be playing in the Masters.
People who have no sense of humor, i.e. Tiger Woods, shouldn't try to pull off April Fool's jokes.
Yeah, they really...
They're impossible to pull off even for the funniest people on the planet, let alone a guy with no personality like Tiger.
Just in the last 2 years... He had a right ankle. Actually, I don't know. I'm sure if he had surgery for that, but he had a sixth surgery on his back, and that was last September. And then, of course, March 11th this year, he had the surgery for the Achilles.
Right. Cakes, when you
I think I've heard either 16 or 18 surgeries.
A lot.
Like,
when you talked about the guy that decided to choose the death by execution or whatever,
the firing squad.
Did that happen already?
I think it already happened. I think it happened like a week or two ago in South Carolina.
That's the guy that ate he had a full meal and then went out there and got executed.
Hmm.
Okay.
Is that the same guy? There's been a couple guys that have been executed, I think, lately. I just can't fathom being hungry, knowing I'm about to just be.
That's the last thing I would do. There's no chance I'd have an appetite.
I don't think I could eat for like a week leading up to it.
Oh, I just Googled it. South Carolina, apparently they just love shooting guys to death. They're going to execute a man by firing squad for the second time in 2 months tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
What I can't believe is I thought when you did get executed by shooting squad, I thought it would be like 10 guys.
Like 10 guys.
And they mow you down with 100 bullets.
No, that's not the way it works. I believe the way it works, at least in South Carolina, they have 3 marksmen.
Yeah.
2 of the 3 have blanks.
But it's just
one has a live round.
Yeah.
And they all like have a laser.
But it's just going to be one shot? It's just going to take you out?
Well, they shoot you right through the heart.
Is it the heart or the head?
Heart.
Are you pinned down?
No, you're. I think you're sitting upright in a chair like
we
are.
So you're sitting in a chair.
You're sitting. The guy's like 15 feet
away.
So
there's no sport to it. It's not like
sport.
It's not like they throw the guy against a wall and he can try and duck.
It's not like he's a deer yards out and Cowboy Todd is trying to shoot it before it runs off. No,
I mean,
he couldn't be more stationary.
It's just horrifying.
It's a heart, but
one shot?
I'll give you this. It's quick.
Yeah.
You get one shot through the heart?
I think it's quicker to go through the head, instantly, right? Like, you just bleed out. Like, you get shot
in
the heart.
I think there's a little bit of time if you get shot in the heart. I think if you get shot like JFK, your head explodes.
I don't want to know either way.
I think the difference is probably marginal.
Yeah. Your heart, I think you'd bleed. I think if you get shot in the heart, I think you're going to live a little longer.
So it's not like the scene in Red Dawn when the Russians are...
No, it's not like that.
There's like 12 of them.
It's just a hail of bullets.
Yeah,
I don't think it's anything like that. All right, when we come back, we're going to pivot to something more cheery. We'll do EB's entertainment page. We'll do that next on The Fan.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. Jason Sobel joins us at 9 o'clock to talk Masters. He's with PGA Tour Radio and CBS Sports HQ. Kevin McCarthy on the movies and all things entertainment coming up at 9:45. So Drab put on the outline that Valdez can save Hooters. I don't know what the game plan is because then Cakes, when I teased it, said, what is Valdez going to do? I said, I don't know.
What is the plan?
I did a yesterday. I've had this plan for weeks, but yesterday, since it was the opening day of the Masters, Hooters is kind of synonymous with the Masters since John Daly does autograph sessions at the Augusta Hooters. So I did reconnaissance, like I'm John Taffer. I went to Hooters yesterday to watch the opening round at the Chantilly location.
Perfect, Drab Tilly.
And
did you have a crew of guys?
Solo.
Solo recon mission.
Did you sit in a booth by yourself or did you go to the bar?
No, I went to the bar.
Okay.
Right in front of the TV.
Is their TV decent?
Yeah, they have a great TV setup.
All right.
And I don't know. I don't know what all these other franchises are doing and what other locations, but the Hooters and Chantilly.
might be one of the most profitable on the East Coast.
It's always crowded.
It's just crowded.
I haven't been there in a long time, but it was always crowded when I went.
I went at 3:30 because I figured, okay, it'll be kind of dead. I can just kind of chill. It was hopping at 3:30.
Okay.
My guess is a lot of guys like to go there before they go home.
Mm-hmm. Well, stop off spot.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, punt work a little bit, go there, mm-hmm. get home at 5, like nothing happened.
Okay.
Number one, the location of that Hooters, other franchises need to take note.
Okay.
This place.
What have they this done
place,
right?
This place, even though it's kind of tucked back off of 50, and if you're familiar with the Chantilly area, there's like a post office back there. Then you also got to go by a bunch of like auto body shops. It is right next to the Blue Collar Central.
Okay.
And Hooters is the Blue Collar steakhouse.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, you got a lot of mechanics hanging out. You got a lot of people who are working outside. You know, Blue Collar America's mm-hmm. in there.
Yep. So salt if you're the earth.
So if you have a Hooters location that's not by these type of people,
right?
Then you're not attracting the right clientele. That's why some of these places are going under. Mm. Like if this is prime spot to
location,
go grab.
Location, location, location.
It's key.
Yes. Also, the girls. I think Drab's in love with one of the waitresses because I was telling him about.
Did you guys go together?
No. I was telling him about.
Just from a description.
Yes, I was telling him about one of the servers and like the creep that he is. Drab found her online.
Oh, he did.
Wow.
Went hard, followed by Matt Valdez.
That's a good, some solid sleuthing right there.
I thought Drab was ready to risk it all. I was liking every picture of her.
I'm so stupid.
if you don't have the stable of women that this place does, then you're gonna go under. They had every size, every curve from top to bottom that you wanted, hair color, ethnicity.
Right.
They had your pick of the litter.
It was a diverse group, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
So whatever you're into as a guy, okay. They have it.
They had it on the menu.
Yeah,
so
it
to speak.
Was. Yeah, it was there.
Well, this was almost a story earlier in the week on the show because their CEO came out and said that they're going in a different direction. That
right.
Hooters is going to save themselves from bankruptcy. They're going in the opposite direction. They're axing bikini nights. They're doing more charity work.
That sounds horrible. That sounds like a terrible pivot.
Yeah, a wet blanket.
Yeah.
And I know this because I saw like a news anchor in Detroit. I couldn't believe he was doing this on local TV. He went on a rant and said, we need more bikini nights. We need hotter women. And he had his two women co-anchors, their jaws were on the floor. Yeah. So I was telling Valdez about it, and then he said, I'll go by Hooters this week and check it out and let you know, give you that skinny.
Now, in terms of improvements, like those are the two core staples you need to have if you're going to open up a Hooters restaurant, is the location, and you got to have a wide variety of hot girls.
Okay.
If you don't have that, you're destined for failure. but the problem is, and it's hard to describe, and I think this is why some of the places are going under, is that when you go, you kind of feel icky.
Okay.
Like you kind of feel like you're doing something bad.
You kind of feel like a perv?
Yes.
Did you
yes.
feel like that, especially because you were by yourself?
Yes, or, even okay. more so if yeah. you're going solo.
Yeah, if you're going by yourself, I can see having that feeling.
But here's the problem, is that everyone who goes to Hooters, people aren't going to Hooters as like a group.
Right.
Because I think people are afraid to say to their boys, hey, let's go to Hooters.
Right.
Yeah, let's see
there's a stigma attached
yes,
to it. Okay.
Let's see some TNA while we have a beer or two and watch something.
Right.
Like I think guys got to get more comfortable
mm-hmm.
and Hooters need to do a better job of maybe having some sort of promotion, like if you're coming in with your buddy.
Yeah.
To get them through the door.
How were the wings?
Okay.
People love the wings.
That's part two.
Okay.
I haven't had a Hooters wing in a long time. And Hooters wings are
very famous. They're a certain style.
Mm-hmm.
They're like breaded with the sauce. You don't, it's a Hooters wing you can pick out of a lineup very easily.
Yeah. They're distinctive.
They're distinctive.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because I'm 37 now.
Okay.
And if, when
your
I was younger,
palate has changed.
And if you could pummel, and if I could pummel them when I was younger, but I ordered 10 wings.
Are you a hot guy?
No, I'm a kind of a medium guy. Okay. I don't like to have my mouth burning when I'm eating.
I'm
kind of
with you.
I ate 5 of them, and I go, oh man, this is this is kind of gross. No. And then I forced myself to eat a 6th wing.
Okay.
And I go, this is not how I want to feel after eating a wing. And then that's the OG wing. And I saw on the menu, they have naked wings and they have grilled wings. Maybe I should have went that way.
Okay.
But the breading, I can't do the breading anymore.
Okay.
It just makes you feel gross. And the last thing you want to do is feel like a roly-poly when chicks with jugs are serving you beers. So you
their
don't
wings
feel-
are so good. When they used, I don't know if they're on Rockville Pike anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
But my wife used to want to stop there to pick up wings to go.
Okay.
The worst, but this might be the worst part about it, is there needs to be a moratorium on these women and talking about their kids. They can't. You can't do that at a Hooters. That is the golden rule.
That's a wet noodle.
Do not bring up your kids around me while I'm sitting around looking at you having a beer.
While you're leering.
Yes.
That's on the GM. You know how
training.
We have topics
issue.
we don't broach on this show.
Totally.
They gotta have topics they don't talk about behind the bar.
No kid rule.
Hey, look, if they want to talk about their kids in the break room
or if a customer asks them about them,
you can't just bring it up out of nowhere.
It blows the fantasy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And there are a lot of regulars there.
Since EB's not here.
Are you going back to that?
So I feel like I should at least get your opinion because EB hates the pantyhose.
Some are wearing it.
Does it bother you? Or?
Some are wearing it, some are not. Doesn't bother me.
Okay.
Am I going back today? I don't know. I'm trying to get Drab to go. I can't go back there by myself
because
it makes me
back days by yourself, I would not recommend.
There, I overheard a guy say he was there. That's his third day in a row going.
Oh. Now that's a Hooters grizzled vet right there.
Are those guys hollering? They're trying to pick up one of the waitresses, right?
I also heard 3 I love yous.
Three of them in one visit?
Yes, not from the same person, but from other people.
Just sitting there for how long were you there?
I was there from about
a couple hours?
3:30, just after 3:30 to 5.
Give me your physical setup in the restaurant. Because you were solo. Did you go to the bar?
Yeah, I sat down
at the bar. Okay.
Yeah. I
missed that detail.
Were there any male employees? Like, I actually don't know. Like at the bar, is there one guy? The cooks.
Yeah, the cooks.
There was a bar back, and I felt bad for the bar back because he felt like he looked like the biggest simp in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, the chicks go, I need more ice.
Right.
And then, so you believe to save Hooters, number one, you kind of need to change the way that they interact. Don't bring up kids.
I need more flirty too.
Okay.
I was a little disappointed in the flirtation department.
Well, they must be flirting decent enough for a couple people to say I love you to them.
No. With the guys that they know, they're very
with the regulars.
Yeah, with the regulars. I felt a little left out. not gonna lie.
Because you're a new face.
So yeah, if you were the manager, you'd say, hey, look, drop the kid talk.
Yeah.
Make these guys feel a little more special.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the food, you're just saying maybe a little less heavy?
That might have been on me. I just ordered poorly. Maybe I would get the naked wings next time.
Did you like the sauce at least?
Yeah, it's fine. It tastes like buffalo sauce.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to mess up buffalo
sauce. They're not splitting the atom at Hooters.
But I mean, some people rave about the wings. My wife's one of them.
I will say, this is a very smart move by the GM or owner. There's definitely some sort of pre doors opening meeting about like phrases to say for the day, I overheard the bartender saying like, who do you have in your golf pool?
Oh no! So really? they just have canned, like, I don't conversation
I don't
starters.
I don't know.
Well, maybe they're customizing it. That's a good thing.
That's a good thing. I don't know if she's a super fan or if she just figured out that phrase to say today to be more polite to people sitting around the bar.
Right.
Kate, you were a retail manager. What would you do when you'd have your staff meeting before you open the doors? Before you open the doors, the Toys R Us. What are you telling your people?
I think you're overstating like the caliber of employees that were working at Toys R Us back in the late 90s.
But you were the boss, right?
Staff meetings?
Yeah.
I mean,
you didn't have a staff meeting?
Once in a while.
Maybe you weren't that.
Maybe before Christmas.
That was more like with the other managers of the store. Yeah, yeah. Like,
oh, so you weren't a manager, man. I thought you were a manager.
No, I was, but like I didn't gather up all the cashiers and have a rah-rah meeting before like we opened the front end of the store.
Another phrase I overheard is, he ruined my parlay. and I'm just like,
they don't even know what a parlay is.
I'm just like, I don't know.
Maybe they do.
I don't know if you're a great actress or you are a Rain Man in Vegas.
You think you're a bunch of Meryl Streeps running around in there?
I've told you guys before that Hooters is bonanza.
Right.
That it's just like one of the better ones that I've heard in the country. And so, Valdez, I was on their Instagram this morning, and I click on a couple of the models, and they're all followed by a friend of mine. He follows all the waitresses. I'll just call him Mike because I don't want to whore him.
Does he live in the area?
So, yeah. He lives in Reston. Okay. So I texted him at 7 a.m. I said, you dirty dog. And I said, I know what you're doing. And then he goes, oh, the Hooters. He goes, yeah, I'll give you scouting reports on all of them. But they all have sugar daddies, he says.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, all the cute ones have sugar daddies.
Oh, okay, got it. Yeah, Valdez, that could be your future.
if they take lint.
Yeah.
He's a saccharine daddy.
I hope they like Masters golf polos. You can give him a bunch of those.
What's your fake sugar cakes? Give me the best fake sugar out
aspartame.
There.
Aspartame. Yeah. Okay. He's splendid.
Aspartame daddy. I would go again. I would definitely go again, but I would like a partner in crime at least.
Right. You need a wingman, so to speak.
Yeah, wingman. Yeah, there you go, okay.
Wingman. Because that's their promo. Be a wingman.
You know what?
That's actually pretty good.
All we are geniuses. We're marketing geniuses.
Because the people there, they have no shame. They don't feel bad about going solo.
Right.
I think the majority of guys, they feel weird doing it. Like I said, they're being naughty.
I'm with you. I would feel weird going to a Hooters by myself, but if I went with you, we could share in the weirdness and it wouldn't be quite as weird.
Why don't you share the weirdness, like you said, with Drabby today and watch a little Masters with Drabby.
Hey, there was a period of time where we went to Hooters every week for Junks TV.
That is
true. That's a long time ago, but that's true.
Hey, Will Dawkins called us.
Very good.
What happened?
We're going to connect. I don't know what happened. You can ask him if you want to grill him.
Overslept?
I mean, 8 o'clock, maybe. I doubt it.
I have no idea.
He's got kids.
Maybe
he
had an emergency meeting or something. I don't know.
Maybe he was, you know, just knee-deep in Cooper Flag video.
Could be.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk to the Wizards GM, Will Dawkins, next here on The Junkies.